listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. I am in Los Angeles, and I have a pretty nasty cough and cold, so I apologize for if I end up having to kind of choke up for various reasons throughout the show. We are going to talk to a psychologist after the 11:30 news. We'll talk to Dr. Susana Flores, the author of Face Hooked, and have a conversation about partly the reactions that you see on media and getting through this, you know, this really tragic time in it is the largest, most deadly shooting in modern American history. And Paul, I know that you were talking about some of the people that you know and following them. Do you ever catch yourself thinking, like, what would I do in a situation if someone were to open fire right now?
I didn't until yesterday, actually. I there was only a few times when, like, I would be at, like, festivals or something like that, especially after that Ariana Grande thing last year and a few other things where I was like, okay, I'm going to look where exits are when you have to run. But, for something like that, I don't know what you do, because you don't know where things are coming from, and people are just reacting. It's like fight or flight, you know, you just kind of.
Yeah, I was reading a piece today. I received an email from a law enforcement officer who sat down and wanted people to know, you know, that he is, concerned about, one, how people are going to feel about going out in public, and he understands that concern. And he gave a lot of he watched the video and had thoughts, you know, for, you know, when you go into a situation, you know, even when you go into a comedy club at Zany's, let's say, they will tell you where the emergency exits are. And we kind of all just take those moments for granted. We don't, you know, we're like, okay, we sort of whatever. We kind of think nothing's going to happen. But there is something about going into, you know, any sort of a large group, you do want to know where your exits are. If, you know, and he talks about in that situation, having watched the videos, he said that, you know, one of the things that you can do is, you know, dive underneath the equipment, which was the stage area, any sort of concrete posts that were there that he saw. Everyone was going for the exits. And one of the, obviously the a lot of injuries were coming from people trampling each other, trying to get out, laying flat. A lot of people were lying flat. And the other thing that was hard for me to imagine was if you have someone with a disability, you know, there was a striking image of a woman pushing someone in a wheelchair and trying to get out of there. And I can't even imagine the horror. You want to take care of somebody, and it's even harder and made more dangerous by trying to get through a crowd with a wheelchair. And the other thing he also said, and I know that people will just, you know, we all kind of live our lives the way we do. He also said, try to wear footwear when you're going to be in big crowds that gives you the opportunity, the ability to move quickly. And he said, avoid anything like flip-flops and high heels. I know it sounds, you know,
but that's
sort of
so hard to, I mean, when you're going to a festival like that, like, that's the last thing you should be thinking about.
Right.
Until now, I guess. I mean, it's insanity to.
Well, and these are moments that do change us. Look, 9/11, someone mentioned earlier today that this is sort of a micro 9/11 that will change us forever. And if you think about that, you know, airline safety, the way we travel is completely different. We have to remove our shoes. We have to, we have to check our, you know, get rid of all the liquids. We only can carry certain things. And, you know, maybe there is something, it's sad, but, you know, this is, again, this goes to our liberties. If you want to have one liberty or the way that we live, now this is a new reality. And you have to say, okay, how do I take care of myself? How do I take care of the people in my life? And obviously there are the bigger issues. I mean, the idea that no one has had any clue, there was no, doesn't seem to be any sort of, like, anger or something that he was locked into or that triggered this man, Stephen Paddock, who took the lives of over now, I believe it's 59 have died, hundreds injured. They're still treating so many. I mean, the hospitals are overwhelmed.
There's only
in Las Vegas.
Yeah, there's only one trauma, one level hospital in the area, so they're overwhelmed. Hopefully the death toll doesn't go higher, but some of those people who are injured are going to be injured severely for a long time. So it's not just, I mean, this is a big thing.
Well, and let me know if we have any texts coming in or any phone calls. Again, we're at 312-981-7200. Do you want to hear what anyone is thinking or feeling tonight? You know, you've heard us all talking all day. The hosts have had, you know, experts on, eyewitnesses. But, you know, it's time for us to have a conversation and what we're thinking. And because it's amazing how quickly, you know, it turned to Chicago. I was surprised at how often Chicago was mentioned in national news in regards to gun violence. And, you know, being a city that has some strict gun laws, and that becomes part of the conversation. However, we are also surrounded by states that have some of the most lenient gun laws. And they say that 60% of the guns on the street in Chicago come from places like Indiana where they don't have strict gun laws. And so we talk about how, you know, and again, the people hear that and they're like, oh no, you know, we're not, let's not make it about that again. Well, when do we make it about that? When mm-hmm. do we have that conversation? This is a day, you know, that yes, we should reflect and we should take care of the people in our lives and make sure that they are safe and feel like they have someone to talk to. But it is absolutely a terrifying day to think that someone would have that much rage, and just really the casualties are it's breathtaking how bad this is.
Yeah, it's I mean, just watching the news when there's people that were like there with kids too, like, and those people are going to be affected for a long time, having to explain to their kids what happened, and that's going to be their first memory. Some of those people as a first concert. I mean,
right.
I can only imagine, you know, I had a much better experience. So,
hey, Michael, you've been to big concerts like this, haven't you? You go to a lot of festivals.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. It really, really touched me in a kind of a different way, because I think that if I was in this situation, I would have probably been there. So I can't believe what I saw mm-hmm. when I got home last night. What was happening on the news? It was wild.
It was, yeah. And do you ever, like, when you're in a big crowd like that, do you ever think about, like, what do I do in case of emergency?
I never thought in my entire life that I'd ever go through that situation, or it would even cross my mind until the Bataclan a few years ago,
right.
with the band, yeah, with Eagles of Death Metal, and what happened there. And it was just so shocking. It was like almost like a movie scenario that kind of stuff could happen in real life. And that's when I started taking, you know, extra precaution. I stopped complaining when they would pat you down before you started going to a show. I stopped making a worrisome notion when I would be waiting in line as they were checking IDs and everything, because I'm like, the security is kind of needed now, which kind of breaks my heart, because we're just going to have fun at a show and this is what we need to expect, which
is escape from
bizarre.
Reality. Yeah, you're going to a show to escape, like, everyday life.
Exactly.
You know? And
yeah.
Now you have to deal with it there too. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, it's terrifying. And just watching again, I caught some of the videos. I had to make myself not watch all of it. But on the other hand, I mean, you know, the people that were there started videotaping because they wanted people to know what they mm-hmm. went through. So there's sort of that strange moment of, do I watch this? And what am I, you know, watching people, and some of them, you know, quite possibly taking their last breaths.
Yeah. I mean, there's people that were, they were interviewing who had blood on them, and they're like, oh, that's not my blood. And you're just like, oh, like, that's just got to be traumatizing. Just...
Yeah. I spoke to a friend of mine out here in Los Angeles, one of his daughter's teachers. There was a bunch of teachers that had gone to Vegas. It's not that far of a trip. A lot of people take, you know, weekend trips to Vegas. And one of the teachers had been shot and killed, and they were having a meeting tonight to decide, you know, how to best talk to their students mm-hmm. about it again tomorrow and what to do moving forward. Let's take a quick break here, Michael. I do have my reads, and I'll do that when we come back. Let's take a quick – do we have a break here, Mike?
Yes, we do.
Let's do that and more on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studios West. I am in Los Angeles battling a really nasty cold, so I can only imagine I sound as bad on the outside of my head as I do on the inside of my head. And, you know, Ro Khan talks about being Ro Strong. But see, Patty Strong doesn't sound as good, I don't think. Right?
It sounds like a pasta dish of some sort.
Patty Strong?
Yeah.
I'm not.
I think they have that at Portillo's.
I don't think it's going to. It doesn't roll off the tongue, Patty Strong. But I am broadcasting from Los Angeles, doing some work. I'll be broadcasting tonight and then again Friday, and we'll have some fill-in hosts I wanted to come on tonight because I did want to have these conversations. I wanted to make sure that, you know, we were there for each other. You know, a lot of us talk to each other in the middle of the night when I'm doing my show. People are driving or maybe trying to go to sleep, or maybe you're, you know, online and looking at all the conversations. And joining us is a psychologist who also specializes in the conversations that we do have on social media. She's the author of Face Hooked. It's an international success. And I know that she got a deal to write another book just today. We're thrilled to welcome Dr. Susana Flores. Hi, doctor. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Patty. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm all right.
Aside from the cold.
Yes. We just saw each other 2 days ago, and it feels as though the world has changed tremendously in just those 48 hours.
Absolutely.
Were you awake while this was unfolding and this tragedy was hitting us all in the middle of the night in Vegas?
I wasn't awake. I woke up to it this morning, just like a lot of people did. And just like most mornings, you know, you wake up and you are fretting as to, like, what is happening now? Like, everyone's on edge.
Right.
I discovered it this morning.
And what do you want? I mean, what are you seeing? What are the things that you strike you as a psychologist, as a mental health professional, in regards to the way people? I think let's talk about the way we're all reacting to it first, and then we can talk about the people that were there. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say with a fair amount of certainty that most psychologists are seeing record number. Cases of stress and anxiety, post-traumatic stress, depression, you know, difficulty coping just even day to day, probably since, you know, mid to late last year, you know, to the current day. And so, you know, like some of the things that I've noticed personally through my work with social media is that what's changed a lot is the way that we're receiving information and the way that we're processing information, especially via Twitter. Right. So basically, like, you know, before we would, you know, wait for, you know, big news through, you know, like, let's say our president or other important officials speaking to us directly through televised interviews. Now we're gaining most of our information through 140 characters on Twitter or, you know, or Facebook. And we're being inundated with a lot of information, you know, causing one of two things, you know, like we're either categorizing information into like mental schemas, like, you know, for example, the president we know to be, you know, let's say more or less more often Caucasian, male and wealthy, right? And social media plays into that, like, you know, hashtag fake news, hashtag bad hombres, you know, hashtag deplorables. And so we're categorizing information into brief snippets of information because it's too much for us, right? It's too much information. And when we do that, we're getting polarized. Because we don't have the energy to read absolutely everything, you know, so we only focus on our team and put blinders to the other team, which is further leading to like a sense of lack of control where nothing makes sense anymore.
That was something we talked a little bit about in the last half hour is, you know, people really are digging into their, and it happened immediately. Is there a way, what can you tell people about, and it's hard to try to listen to somebody.
Yeah.
But if not today and not tomorrow, then when are we going to, how can we start listening to each other?
Well, this is a hard pill for many people to swallow, but like, you know, since we're receiving a lot of information through social media, it takes the effort of actually clicking on something that belongs to the other team. And most people like make a gasp whenever I mention that, right? But we're not going to get anywhere unless we begin talking to each other, and until we decide or have the insight that most of us are, like, we have more in common than we have differences. We really do. And we're all just striving to just survive, you know, day by day. And I know that the word survive is a strong word, but this is kind of our new reality. You know, most people talk about, like, they feel like they're living in a twilight zone. And I think that, you know, if we can at least start with the insight that most of us are just trying to, you know, bring in the good things and decrease the bad, then that's at least a step, right? But we have to begin by admitting that our new baseline is elevated stress, and therefore we have to be more proactive with trying to understand each other and trying to be kind to one another.
I agree. I think that I was mentioning earlier, we lose. If we can't possibly listen to the other side, then there is no way forward. It's not about changing your mind. It's about, you know, bending is hard, you know, bending at all, showing any sort of, I guess it seems like a sign of weakness to people to say, oh, I see your point, or I understand where you're coming from. But maybe even just practicing that, you know, I get what you're saying, or wow, I didn't think of it that way. Like, even practicing those things, even if, you know, get to the point where you do want to believe that you see their point of view. We have some listeners that want to join the conversation. We're talking to Dr. Susana Flores. She is the author of Face Hooked. And we also have comedian and lawyer Paul Farvar in the studio. Joining us on the line is Jason, who wanted to join our conversation. Hey, Jason, how are you doing?
Hey. I'm doing good. How you doing?
Very well. Well, you know, hanging in there. Yourself?
Well, I just got back from Chicago today.
Uh-huh.
And we had a great trip. But the whole thing with everything going on, it's just not like a country thing or a state thing. It's a world thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back in history years. I mean, it's just like you look at what happened in the Olympics, like, 40 years ago when the Israelis got attacked and they were taken prisoners and they were executed. It's a world thing. And it's not like, let's protect the country. It's protect the world. The problem is, just let's just work it all out instead of being mad at everybody. What's everybody's problem?
Yeah.
Tennessee. I'm from the South.
Uh-huh.
And we went to Chicago this past weekend, my wife and I, for 4 days, and had a great time. And it's like there was no problem there, but the entire time it's like you're always looking out what's going on, making sure no one's attacking. But it's not just Chicago, it's just like small towns too. Stuff happens.
Sure.
And it's like you gotta be why do you have to be on the lookout all the time?
I wish we didn't, but I don't know how we, you know, if this is the new normal, I don't know how not to anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we're being programmed, like, you know, psychologists call it being hypervigilant. You know, we're being programmed to be in constant alert. And part of that is the simple act of even having our push notifications on our phones. Like, you know, like 1 minute we're fine, and the next minute we're getting some alert that some other either natural disaster or national disaster or whatever has occurred. And therefore, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. The increase of stress, of course.
Sure.
But that's the thing. Why should we have to be alert all the time? And why should somebody be so mad at so many different people for no reason and take his anger or her anger out on everybody? And there's nothing we can do about it. And it's like we have to fix it. But how do you fix it?
I'd like to try to address that. The reason why we're attacking each other is because we have very little control over the decisions that a lot of people are making, or a lot, very even less control over natural disasters. And so we tend to lash out on people. Unfortunately, even the people that are closest to us tend to get the brunt of it because we're so stressed out. And just like, you know, any kind of energy, it needs to be released in some way. So I'm glad we're talking about this, because eventually, like, I want to talk about effective, you know, or healthier ways to release this stress versus attacking one another.
What are the healthier ways? I mean, it's so hard, like you said, doctor. I mean, you know, if you don't pay it, one option is to just opt out and just don't get push notifications, but then you don't know what's going on in the world. And some of us who have to know what's going on in the world can't do that. But I mean, at the same time, everybody has this elevated stress level. And I think that that affects everything you do, whether it's talking to your friends and family or just walking down the street, like Jason said.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, well, the thing is,
before you answer that, here's my thing too, real quick. I got a daughter in college and I got a wife that works. And I work, and we're not together at the same time. And it's like, how in the world do you sleep knowing that your wife is at work, your daughter's at school, or she's at work while she's at school, and the world's so screwed up to where we all can't work things out? And it just and how do you sleep for something like that?
Oh, great question. What do you say,
Doc? Yeah, and basically, yeah, you're absolutely right. Most people have been reporting, like, they can't sleep. you know, they're experiencing like physical signs of like, you know, stress, which like headaches, stomach pain, back or hip pain, like hair loss, fatigue. And then there's the emotional, like irritability, anger, you know, leading to isolation or depression, and at an extreme, even personality changes. And so how do we sleep? You know, I have been sending more and more people to their medical doctors to try to, you know, sleep is so critical in stress reduction, critical, right? And yet it's cyclical, because stress leads to insomnia, and insomnia leads to stress. So that's usually like a first priority, is trying your best to get 8 hours of sleep, either through relaxation, yoga, meditation, whatever needs to be done. And in terms of, you know, turning off the push notifications, I have turned off mine, because I felt like I love the news, right? But I had to, for my own mental health, I had to do it so that I could gain a sense of control over, you know, I get to check out the news when I want to, right? And the way that I figure is that if something big enough happens, I'm going to hear about it, but at least I get to decide when I'm ready to hear it. You know, therefore, it's not like just hitting me at all hours of the day or night,
and catching you off guard. We are talking to Dr. Susana Flores. She's the author of Face Hooked, and she's a psychologist who is helping us talk through the tragedies of the day. We have a caller on hold. We'll get to taxi driver Bob and anybody else who's joining us at 312-981-7200 in just a moment. It's Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. More on 720 WGN.
Hey, welcome back. This is Michael, the producer. We are being joined by our great, great friend, psychologist Dr. Susana Flores. Waiting for our good friend Patty to join us back
did
here.
Did I get disconnected again?
We got you back now, which is my favorite part of the night.
How are you doing there? All
right,
well.
Then.
Hi. Yes, wow, I like the music that you're playing.
Why, thank you very much.
All right, then.
No idea.
Joining us, often have no idea, joining us on the line is Dr. Susana Flores, and we have taxi driver Bob, who is joining our conversation. We're talking about the tragedies in Las Vegas, and really now it's become a cumulative effect, and Dr. Flores is talking about how people are experiencing PTSD and the way that they're processing this. Dr. Flores, I want to introduce you to taxi driver Bob. He's a regular listener on our show. Hey, taxi driver Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. I just felt like it was not to the magnitude of 9/11, but I just felt like it was like the day after 9/11 with the feelings that were going on, and feeling of all the bad things that had happened to all these people, innocent people, and I just went about my day in a kind of a somber way, but just kind of really focusing on, you know, I think that we saw that after 9/11 that people were nicer to one another for a period of time, and I'm just thankful for what I have, and I just kind of put it in perspective that a lot of the stuff that I would get aggravated over in the daily, you know, work environment, that I wasn't getting aggravated because I just thought of all the people that have been affected by the shooting, and that thankfully, yeah, I didn't have to go through that. And I just feel like we as people have to treat each other a lot better than the way we've been treating each other, and that we just really, you know, just be nice to people, you know, and don't be aggravated over the small things, you know.
Dr. Flores, I think that's a good way to approach
it. Great points.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are really great points. You mentioned one of my favorite words, which is gratitude. And, you know, when, you know, in this new reality of ours, that is, you know, a phenomenal piece of advice of, you know, just focusing on other people and being grateful for what we do have. And even though this, what we went through with Vegas and the hurricanes and the earthquakes and everything, it puts everything into perspective of how fragile life is and how easily we can lose everything in a matter of seconds, literally. And so I'm grateful to you for mentioning that.
It's just, but it is overwhelming. You know, I mean, all the things in the last month, and it just seems to be never ending. You know, it's every day seems to be a different thing with all the, you know, the natural disasters that have happened and these constant shootings of just people, you know, going out there and killing other people and then they kill themselves. And it's just, it's a crazy world. It's tough to deal with, you know, mentally, but, you know, I just harken back to, you know, the way I was thinking today. And I want to carry that over to every day, not just after something with the severity of what happened today or 9/11, just following through with that on a day-to-day basis and not forgetting about all this stuff, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. It is a crazy world, and, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, the way that, you know, our clients have been presenting, if these things were not real, we would almost, psychologists would almost think that they were, you know, either the word hypervigilant or they're paranoid, right? But it isn't paranoid. You know, there are many reasons to be stressed, and it is important to realize, or at least to begin to admit to ourselves that this is our new baseline, at least for now. And if we can accept that, and it's a hard acceptance, but if we can accept that, then we can take much stronger steps towards self-care. You know, like, you know, the stuff that I mentioned before, like yoga, meditation, you know, like, you know, drink your favorite wine, watch your favorite comedies. It's go time, right?
Yeah.
It's go time in terms of you need to take care of yourself at whatever that means, you know, more than ever.
And Doctor, before we let you go, I want to thank you so much for staying up late with us. I want to make sure people know where to find your book and follow you on social media and keep up with what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. My book is called Facehooked, and it can be found in any bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, you know, and so I give these talks often, you know, on the psychological effect of social media and other topics such as this. And so I'm very grateful to be on your show to talk about such an important topic.
Well, thank you so much. And it was great to see you this weekend. Take care. We'll talk to you very soon. Let's not make it so long again. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios in Los Angeles. Joining us in the studio are Danny Shea and Joe Stevens. They're part of a play that we're going to talk about in just a little bit. I know they got some great music for us. And here they are for Music Monday, playing Bullet in a Gun.
I've always kept to myself, ain't been given a chance from anybody else. They look through me, I don't see much better. I ain't no hero, ain't brave, ain't all that clever. But what am I holding in my hands? Muzzle and stock, held tight in metal bands, loaded with some small stone or not much bigger. What happens when I aim and pull the trigger? Been alone since 17, to hell and back and in between. Not had a friend, not been someone, just want a moment in the sun. I am a soldier in the line, and I'm looking for a sign. Ready to burst on out, I'm taking aim. Those boys over there's gonna know my name. I'm a bullet in a gun. I'm a bullet in a gun. Going off to war today, they say I'll be in the way. I ain't got brass, I'm taxed with flaws. Can't afford to care because the whole country's on its knees. And life ain't much to me. Hunk of lead for a head, but there's something there. When I put my rifle in the air, I'm a bullet in a gun. I'm a bullet in a gun. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sometimes I wanna shout, I may not look like much to them, but I can be someone. I'm a bullet in a gun. I'm a bullet in a gun. And maybe when this war is won, we'll live better than when we begun. I'm a bullet in a gun. Oh, 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 oh. Cloud of smoke and flash of fire. Metal flies and splits the air. Men are all afraid of dying, but the bullet doesn't care. It's got a path it has to lead. Ain't no stopping once it's freed.
You can change the course of history with the weapon the size of an apple seed. I'm a bullet in a gun, a powder blast. I come out fast and I'm on my way. A bullet in a gun, I may be small, but if I recall, that doesn't matter when you've got the power to be unstoppable. I'll be unstoppable. You'll never see me coming, and you'll never see me sway.
Wow, man, that was amazing. Wow, I am blown away. That was remarkable. Again, that's Danny Shea and Joe Stevens. They are performing live in our Allstate Showcase studio for Music Monday. And also, they're performing in Civility, the Civility of Alba Cashier, which is running right now through, has been extended to October 22nd at Stage 773. Let's make sure that they can grab a seat and we can talk to them about the production. I've been fascinated about this. You know, the day that the president announced that transgender military personnel would no longer be permitted. I'm not even sure if is it going forward or they'll no longer be allowed to stay, but it seemed timely, and I saw that the opening of the Civility of Albert Cashier was looming, and I thought, wow, this is a pretty remarkable time to be running this play. Danny, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, thanks. Oh, there we are.
There you are.
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for having us.
That was beautiful.
Oh,
really,
thanks.
Great.
And we wanted to let you know that actually is a radio edited version that we cut off the end just so that it was a little bit more of a tease to get you know. it's the midnight version of the song to get you all to come see it live and in person.
And now, are you playing Albert Cashier?
I am. I'm playing young Albert when he joined the Union and when he fought in the war.
Oh, and now music and lyrics for this production are by Joe Stevens and Keaton Wooden. Is that correct, Joe?
That's correct. Yes.
That was a great song. I have to say, I'm in. I want to go see this, and I'm happy that you guys are extended through October 22nd. You've been running for a bit, so it's got to feel good to know that the audiences want you to stay.
Definitely.
So good.
Yeah. Hey, were either of you familiar with the story of Albert Cashier?
I was. I ran across it early on in my educating myself about transgender issues when I was going through my early transition. So it was great, you know, 10 plus years later to get offered to write the songs for this musical.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Danny? Were you familiar with
Albert?
Albert Cashier.
You know, I really wasn't. I knew that there were obviously gender nonconforming people well before my time and well before people even had words for it. But I didn't know of Albert specifically, and learning about him and being able to portray him has been quite something, quite an honor, and very revealing for myself, honestly.
And for our listeners, we'll go ahead and explain. How would you like to best explain this story? Because Albert was born Jennifer.
Yeah, Albert, you know, of what we know about this historical person, Albert was an Irish immigrant. He came over with his parents and was born Jennifer Hodgers. Parents died, and at 19, Albert joined the Union Army, which was a common thing for immigrants to do. And Albert chose to live as Albert Cashier, and chose to live as a man, and fought all 4 years of the Civil War,
in secrecy,
and then continued to live as Albert after the war. So, you know, however Albert would have identified in our current terminology,
we don't know.
We don't know. Right. But Albert chose to live as male and chose to be called he, so we respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
And what's interesting,
Yes.
I was just going to say, what's so interesting is that what makes his story different from a lot of stories of people who were assigned female at birth who fought in the Union or in the Civil War, for that matter, who portrayed themselves to be male and fought in the war as men, but then left the war. They, a lot, most of them that history accounts, lived as female after the war and lived like sort of stereotypically feminine or roles. But Albert didn't do that, and that's what that's why we feel that, you know. Well, he was certainly gender nonconforming, and that's why, as trans people, we relate so much to his story, is because he decided to do that when it wasn't safe, popular. There were no words for it. There were no, you know what I mean?
Certainly so, no right. community.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, no doubt. And again, Albert Cashier was from Illinois. They so you said that his parents emigrated here from Ireland. Did they settle in Illinois, or they kind of made stops along the way? Do you know?
They're not quite sure. I mean, he landed in Boston, I believe, and then his mother died, and it was his stepfather, and he also ended up passing away. And there was some evidence that Albert stowed away to Illinois. And,
oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What a life. Again, this is the play is The Civility of Albert Cashier. In studio with us are Danny Shea and Joe Stevens. Joe Stevens has co-written some of all of the music and lyrics with Keaton Wooden for this play. And Danny Shea, who is that was really I was like, man, I can't believe I'm not in studio to meet you. Quite a performance. Do you have another song we might be able to do after the commercial break?
Absolutely.
Again, this play is running through October 22nd because they've been extended. That's how good this show is. You can go to Stage 773 to buy tickets. Stage773.com. They also have a website, Albert Cashier. Hold on. What's the musical.com. So it's albertcashierthemusical.com for more information.
Common spelling.
Comments. Thank you for traditional spelling. Exactly. Cashier. Perfect. More with our guests in just a moment on 720 WGN. And that was our emergency alert system broadcast. And we have in studio with us Danny Shea, who is appearing in the production of The Civility of Albert Cashier, running through October 22nd at the Stage 773. Joining her is Joe Stevens, who has co-written the lyrics and music for the musical production that they have there. Here they are with A Child Song.
Thank you. This is one of Danny's original tunes. Barely sleep.
up until this point, I have never felt so real, because I know love will hold me up. 'Cause I know love will hold me up. 'Cause I know love will hold me up. The mother, the father, the earth and the water, the sound of my voice. I am son, I am daughter. The call to be brave is the call to move higher. So I will rise up like the flames of a fire, 'cause I know love will hold me up.
Man.
That was good.
Yes, so good. That is Danny Shea, and he's appearing in the Civility of Albert Cashier at Stage 773. Joe Stevens, who has written, co-written the lyrics and music for the production, join us in studio for Music Monday. The play has been extended. Of course it's been extended, because just from the music alone, it sounds like a remarkable story. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. I've been wanting to see it so badly, and I'm sorry that I'm not in studio to meet Danny Shea and Joe Stevens, who are hopefully at microphones so we can continue our conversation.
Yep.
I know that you've got a lot going on. So, Danny, where are you from originally?
I'm from Orlando, Florida originally, and I currently live in Los Angeles.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Should I stop by and do you mean to water any plants or anything?
That would be great. hopefully my roommates are doing that, but you know what? No.
What part of Los Angeles are you living in right now?
I'm actually in La Crescenta.
Okay.
I've started a small artist commune of 7 of us in a big old house. We've got a studio and a dog and a cat. It's pretty lovely, actually.
Nice. Yeah. And so the production of Albert Cashier brought you to Chicago?
It did. And I love Chicago. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, I'm glad. Have you been to Chicago? Have you had a chance to experience our city for this length of time before?
Never. No.
Oh,
I'd only ever been here for a day, 2 days at tops, for little quick events, but it's great to be here.
Oh, well, we're thrilled to have you in Chicago for this production. And when did you start performing in theater? When did you, or singing, or what got you started in show business, I guess, as an artist?
Well, I guess I realized I could sing and that I wanted to start singing back in fourth grade. So what are you, like 9 or 10 at that age?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I did some talent contests and that sort of thing just for singing. And then in middle school, I discovered improv acting and got really into that. And then from there, got into theater in high school and did a bunch of musicals in high school and a couple of straight traditional plays too. But really thought that was going to be my route, like acting, stage, and stuff like that. And then I got a guitar, started writing my first songs when I was 16 and 17, and then from there, music sort of took over, and writing and recording and releasing music that way. So to be able to kind of tap into my old roots and dive back into theater has also been, honestly, a dream come true. I couldn't ask for a better role. I couldn't ask for a better group of people to be working with. Honestly, it's truly remarkable, the group that I'm with. So,
and what has been your sense as to how the audiences are reacting to this portrayal of a soldier who lived a pretty secret life at a time when, you know, it was probably even more, I mean, it had to be so dangerous and terrifying.
Yes, exactly. Thankfully, the audiences seem so receptive, moved. They you know, some of them will hang out afterwards and talk to us, and they say it's stirring and important and sad, but also there's a lot of hope in it, and it, you know, they just feel like it's timely and it's necessary, and it's like, you know, this is a story that's been tucked away in a sense. It's not, you know, it's not taught in schools. It's not really shared in a mass way yet. At least up until recently, it hadn't been. And obviously, with everything that's going on in the government and with the ban on transgender folks in the military, that there was a lot more attention being given to this story and other stories of trans folks in the military. So that's great. I'm glad that new stories are being told and that we're able to help tell his story.
It's an incredible, incredible adventure it sounds like you guys all are on. And again, this is The Civility of Albert Cashier. Danny Shea plays the young Albert, The Civility of Albert Cashier. And Joe Stevens, who's the lead composer. Joe, where are you from originally?
I'm from California. I grew up in Sacramento, and I am a kind of perpetual traveler, so I am everywhere else as often as I might be in California.
He has a really cool Sprinter van that is so rad.
Yeah. A Sprinter what?
A Sprinter van. I have my live-in vehicle that I tour in.
Excellent. Let me take a quick break here, and I wanted to catch up with you guys a little bit more and make sure people know where to find out more about the performances that are running through October 22nd of The Civility of Albert Cashier at Stage 773. More in just a moment on 720 WGN. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in our Allstate Showcase Studios West, and really kind of bummed that I'm not in studio to join our guests for our Music Monday. We have Danny Shea and Joe Stevens. Danny is playing Albert Cashier, the young Albert Cashier, in the stage production of The Civility of Albert Cashier. It's a musical, and as you've heard, if you've been listening for the last half hour, some amazing music. We also have Joe Stevens, who has co-written the words and lyrics. He's the composer for the play. Again, it's at Stage 773. Go to stage773.com for ticket information, or go to albertcashierthemusical.com. I believe that's correct. I want to make sure I get that all correct for everybody, because you've got to see this play. It is running through October 22nd, and I encourage everyone. We should have like a WGN radio night. We should. Paul, you want to go see it with me?
I'm in. Yeah, I'll go.
Let's take all the listeners. I mean, I can't take them, but let's all meet up one night. Let's pick a WGN night and go see the show together, because this is important. It's a part of our history as Americans, as Illinoisans, and it's a part of our history that hasn't been told. And here are Danny and Joe with Brothers in Arms.
My friend, the sun is rising to the sky. The river bends as we journey through the needle's eye. Another day has dawned, the only one we've got in this hard and lonely life. We've been walking this long, long road, mile after mile and day after day. Brothers in arms will stay. I've been on my own for all this time. No kin, no one standing by my side. My world was dark, but you bring a light. You'll always be a friend of mine. We've been walking long, long road, mile after mile and day after day, till the end when our story's been told. Brothers in arms will stay, brothers in arms will stay.
Nice.
Oh man, again, you've got to get to The Civility of Albert Cashier, running at Stage 773 through October 22nd. They've extended the show, so this might be your last chance, unless, I don't know if there's more to it, and I have to imagine this is something that should be put on a grander scale, but right now it's on a grand scale at Stage 773. I want to thank Danny Shea and Joe Stevens for joining us in studio. And I look forward to meeting you at the theater. We wish you the best of luck. And really, thank you so much for bringing your talent to Chicago and sharing it with so many people. Thank you
so much for having us.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Our pleasure. You know what? If I don't know when you go back to L.A. or, Joe, if you're traveling as well, but if we could do a wrap party for you. We love celebrating the end of a run. Yes. So if you want to hang out and maybe James and Michael can work that out. And after you guys close, we'd love to talk about, like, what the run was like, you know, any sort of things that happened along the way, stories that maybe, you know, even the performers and the director don't know between each other. It's always fun to have those conversations. Yeah,
that'd be great.
Well, and Danny and I will be doing a show of our own original music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On October 15th at Stage 773 at 8 o'clock after the Sunday matinee.
Nice.
So if you want to come hear more of our original tunes.
As well. Yes.
Yep. October 15th.
I'm in.
Sounds great.
Paul, Michael, put it on my calendar and make sure I don't do anything else except for that. Those two things.
And let me know if you guys need a djembe player or anything like that. I know somebody who's pretty good. There's what?
Actually.
So
we'll talk.
Cool.
Mike's my agent as well. He'll tell you all about that djembe player.
Excellent. Well, there you go. Now we know what day we're all WGN listeners, let's all hang out on October 15th, Stage 773 for the Civility of Albert Cashier. And then afterwards, Danny and Joe are going to be performing some of their original music. And that's all at Stage 773?
Correct.
Oh, fantastic. That's the day we want to go then, exactly. October 15th. Let's take a quick break. And actually, I want to make sure, do you guys want to share any social media? People should be following you, keeping up on what you're up to? Danny?
Sure. The most important to keep up with all Albert-related things would be Albert Cashier the Musical. I should know this off the top of my head.
Albert has a website.
Albert has a website.
AlbertCashierTheMusical.com.
And then all the links are there.
Albert's Facebook. And
Oh, cool.
And you can find Joe and Danny, and we have
We're
all the
Facebooks
Facebook
and
the Twitters
and the Instagrams and whatnot.
Snapchat also?
I'm not on Snapchat. I'm not.
I keep trying to figure that out, Danny.
I can't keep up. I cannot keep up.
Although, Danny, you know what one of the coolest features on it is?
What?
Is that if you pinch... Paul, do you know how to look at the map and see who's nearby and then look at the world, what's going on all over the place?
On Snapchat?
Yeah, have you tried that?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. Maybe Michael can... So
It's getting shown to me right now.
Right.
Oh, my God. That's a game changer.
Oh, it's a total game changer. Because, like, when the hurricanes were hitting and when the earthquake hit, you can go and see how people are struggling. And you can also see where people are partying, see where all the action is.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Small moments in people's lives that they're letting go public, like birthday parties, like just all over the world. That's my coolest, my favorite thing on Snapchat is keeping in touch with people that way. I'm guessing
there are a lot
of things.
I'm trying it right now.
Yeah, well, go play with your toy.
Okay.
And Danny, Joe, I look forward to seeing you on October 15th.
We look forward to it as well.
Oh, thank you so much. That was really incredible music. Congratulations on all the hard work. It's paying off. And I know that it sounds like it's a passion project for you both.
Yes.
So thank you. Everyone go see The Civility of Albert Cashier at Stage 773. More in just a moment on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, just broadcasting from Los Angeles. I'm Patty Vasquez. Thank you so much for hanging out. It has been a long day. I thought that the best way to really do our show tonight was to do a kind of everything. And we talked about what was going on in Las Vegas. We've talked, I know, during the news about the passing of Tom Petty. And that was a strange thing all day because I guess the LAPD had given – someone had released information that he had already died. So
yeah.
And then the family was angry because he'd been –
the daughter blasted Rolling Stone pretty badly. It was pretty funny, saying that – took some personal attacks at them for prematurely announcing his death. But
And that's the thing, is that like the family wants to be able to have their moment and be able to contact family members far and near and be able to have that conversation before it's on your Twitter account.
It's crazy.
And I want to thank our guests in studio, Danny Shea and Joe Stevens. They were remarkable. Such a great performance. And I want to really encourage everyone to join us on October 15th at Stage 773 for the Civility of Albert Cashier. And I want to encourage everyone to go out on October 13th. Now I want to make sure Vic Pandya joins us in studio. Hey, Vic, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Now, tell me how to say this, because I say so many things incorrectly and then try to be funny about it. But I shall ask you, what is the name of the comedy show you have coming up?
Okay, so we got a couple things coming up. The one that I was asked to originally promote was the Chalo Hasso Comedy Showcase, which is a South Asian comedy showcase over in Millennium Park at Seven Bar and Restaurant on October 13th.
And what does Chalo Hasso mean?
It actually means come, let's laugh.
Okay.
And it's a showcase that's put on by the owner of Seven Bar and Restaurant, who's actually a Muslim American, and he's trying to feature a bunch of South Asian comics. And it's really cool. I mean, I'm getting the chance to headline the show. It features the best up-and-coming South Asian comics in Chicago. And they couldn't book Paul as the headliner, so they booked me instead.
I don't think I qualify as South Asian, do I?
Okay, so thank you, Paul, because I was, you know, I was going to ask for those of us, including myself, who are geographically challenged in the sense that when you say South Asian, I go, yep, I'm not entirely sure what that means. But help us out.
It's not my show, so Vic.
No, I'm asking Vic. I think you, Paul.
Yeah.
Paul, clearly you said I'm not sure.
No,
if
he
I
looked
qualify.
At me. I was like, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what's going on.
Honestly, when you're asked to headline the show, you don't ask too many questions. You're just like, all right, I'll do it. What do you want me to say? I'll say it. You know?
Okay, so according to Wikipedia, it would be the Indian subcontinent.
Yes, correct.
So
correct. I think most of the performers are from India or from Pakistan.
Pakistan, Nepal would also count. Portions of Afghanistan and Bangladesh would also, according to Wikipedia, would also count.
Count. I like how you make it sound as though there's like some sort of an accounting method, like the charts and graphs.
Of course,
and like,
it's, there
like
is.
A, it's they're Indian. Those, it's yeah. Of course it's going to be accounting involved.
And like vectors and all kinds
yeah.
of things.
Oh, that's our vectors are a thing. Yeah, for sure.
Well, now, where are you from originally, Vic?
I'm originally from Chicago, actually, born and raised, and been doing comedy here for a couple years.
I like how you said, Paul, listen to that, a couple years, you know, just doing comedy for a couple of years.
Yeah, small.
So, no, it's great. You've opened for Roy Wood. You've opened for Michelle Wolf.
Yep.
And now you're headlining a show, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I've been lucky to be in Chicago. There's so much stage time here and so many great shows, so much different variety. So I've been able to kind of work my way up through the chain, but there's still a lot of left to go and a lot left to do.
It's a process.
Yes.
It's a process. You'll enjoy it.
Paul, how long have you been doing comedy?
I think six and a half, seven
boys,
years.
Boys, children, when you hit 20 years, Vic, I've been doing comedy for 23 years. So when you hit 20, you look at all the way you're describing it.
You get a token.
You know, yeah, basically.
I hope you get something, because if there's nothing at the end of this tunnel, that's horrible. What are we doing this for?
No, Vic, here's the thing is that everybody's adventure is different. What you want out of it depends on what you want. What do you want? What do you want, Vic? You want a sitcom? Do you want a talk show? Do you want a special, a Netflix special? What do you want?
I want this. I want to be able to just talk, and like that's why I do a podcast as well. And I'm sure Paul and I will talk about that.
Oh,
later.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But I also just I think in comedy you can go so many different directions. Like you can go into acting, you can go into podcasting, you can go into doing a show. So there's a lot of different avenues. Right now, I'm just kind of enjoying the ride and doing as much as I can.
Excellent. And where does your comedy come from? I mean, when people say, oh, it's going to be a comedy show of, because when I do Latino shows, I feel a lot of pressure to like, do I have to do something that's particularly Latino? Mm-hmm. And for me, and what I've always felt is tell your story, be authentic. And by the way, also I'm Latina. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I was listening to one of the older episodes you were talking about this. I think it's really interesting as being a comic of from a certain ethnicity, you're kind of expected to, well, not expected, but I think that's the easy ways to kind of just do everything about your kind of the stereotypes and that then thing. But there's a difference between being authentic and just having something in your worldview and through that lens. And I think it's about giving people perspective. And I think that's what I try to do in my comedy is, yes, I'm telling it from this Indian perspective, but I'm also like an American. Like I was born here. My parents came here for college. So while it's an Indian perspective, it's still very relatable. And I think everyone can kind of understand it. But it's giving that kind of backstory and insight into our culture and the way we view things.
I agree. And Paul does the same thing. I think we probably do. Do you talk about your parents? Because for my, you know, growing up for me, having my mom from Mexico and the cultural differences and some of the, you know, the conflicts that she runs into being treated differently, maybe because of her accent or the way she looks, you know, that informs the way I tell stories. Do you reflect on that as far as what your parents, maybe your experience has been?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's huge. I think one of the big things that, you know, comedy allows you to do is kind of get people to maybe see something in a different perspective? Because I think a lot of people aren't really prone to listening to other methods. So if you can do it through comedy, it's like, yeah, there's a joke there, but also maybe it said something, like that subtext.
Yeah.
And I think that's the power that we have as comedians, is to kind of teach people a little bit, but also make them laugh and not make it feel like a class. I think that's why The Daily Show is so successful.
Oh, I agree. Is that the kind of thing you'd like to do as well, having worked with Michelle and Roy?
Oh, I'm just waiting till, like, Hassan, something happens to him. I just fill in. I'm already wearing the suit. Like, I'll be good to go. Like, they're not going to know the difference, you know?
Just blur the screen a little bit. They won't notice.
That'll be fine.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Well, that brings up a point, though. I mean, you know, it does, for shows like that, I've lived in Chicago my entire life, and I made the choice to commute to Los Angeles when work calls and when I need meetings and things like that. But a show like The Daily Show, I mean, the people that they pick up are the ones that they see regularly. Do you think about moving to Los Angeles or to New York?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, you would know this, like two years in is nothing. I mean, there's like some great stuff on my resume, but there's so much left I have to do here. So I feel like I'm not going to make that choice until like another year or two at least.
Okay.
And I would rather move kind of when the work starts. Like, I don't want to be one of those people who moves too early. And just kind of has to restart. Obviously, there's a process there, but I would rather go for an opportunity than just like show up.
It's such a delicate balance. I mean, it's funny with the long view that I have. I mean, like, I knew there was, I will tell you this, there was a gap between all the comics that moved to Los Angeles and being able to hit it, right? And then the ones that started, like, when I really started to notice it was, and he was Second City, so TJ Miller. And then, I mean, like, comics like Hannibal and Cameron. So the comics that I came up with were more like Graham Elwood, Jimmy Pardo. I mean, like, they took a long road to get to where they are. So, I mean, like, there is a different path for everybody. And I'm it's fun to watch from my point of view, I think. And there is there's no wrong choice, you know. The choice that you make is the one that's right for you, given whatever is in front of you.
Yeah, and I think it's like, everyone goes into comedy at their own kind of time. Like, there's people I look at who started when they were like 18, and I'm like, oh my God, if I started when I was 18, like, I'd be, 8 years in now, you know, like, how much better would I be?
Yeah, no.
But
it's a different,
yeah,
it doesn't
have
matter.
A different point of view.
Exactly.
It's almost better. I mean, I started much later in life. And it's just, yeah, well, we'll talk about it.
No, go ahead, Paul.
Oh, I thought you were going to news, but, I mean, it's just, it's different. It all works out.
And here's the thing is that you, and here's the thing I always try to remember is you can't ever compare yourself to anybody else. There's not anyone, there's no one that tells the story that you tell. You know, I can't be Amy Schumer or Sarah Silverman.
Yeah. So it really doesn't matter. It's just, see so much like in comedy that it's like constantly looking at other, like you have to just evaluate against yourself. You're like, you're the benchmark.
Yeah.
Everyone says that. And it's so true that you just have to do it. I mean, the people that I in our class, for lack of a better word, all doing great things, and it's so cool, but they don't, however great that is, it's not what I necessarily want to do. So
path,
you just have to pick your battles. What you want to do.
Well, Paul, you have a singles game coming up.
Yeah, you know, because we'll talk about that after the news, Patty. But
should we roll Vic into the singles game?
Well,
he's actually
we're doing our podcast together on Friday.
Oh.
At the Laugh Factory. He's got a podcast similar to ours, Patty. It's Master Dating. It's about dating as well.
Yep, very
that
similar.
That sounds dirty, Vic.
It's a pun. We're comics. We gotta...
I was teasing.
That's a good name.
But it's radio appropriate. Okay.
Oh, wow. So Master Dating and Singles Only going head-to-head. See, I made it dirtier. Time now for our news. Oh, yeah. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West. I am in Los Angeles. And actually, this music, you know, the dating game is always very California. It was always very slick and very, like, all the pretty people and stuff. And Paul Farvar approached me about hosting a dating game of our very own. What are we calling this, Paul?
Well, I thought it was called the Pretty Late Dating Game, since it's got a good ring to it.
I think we should blend it. Shouldn't we make it like the Pretty Late Singles Only Game?
You could call that.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I think we do your show and my show.
Okay.
It's a perfect marriage.
Well, also, Vic's show. We gotta work in Master Dating sometime.
Okay, so how about the Pretty Late Singles Only Dating Game?
pretty late master dating singles only
game
show.
Yeah. Michael is going to mock up the working title for that. We'll figure it out as we go along. All right. Now, Esmeralda. I haven't checked with Esmeralda yet. I have to talk to Esmeralda.
Of course.
Fine.
It's like in the first hour, I'd be like, so how was your day with all the craziness? And then we had music. And Esmeralda, I miss you.
Aw.
We haven't even talked since we had the chance to go to the very last time we went to the Stranger Things. Oh, we did a little bit. But you and I had a chance to go to the Stranger Things bar for the last time before they closed.
All right. Isn't it closed now? It's gone.
It's closed now.
It's done.
But they are going to have a Halloween-themed event, so we're going to go to that as well. I'm just saying. Oh, I know. It'll be fun.
I'm going to be scared.
I know. It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
No, it'll be fun.
Now, Esmeralda, did you ever watch The Dating Game?
Yeah, I've seen the clips and all that.
Okay, all that. It's what's funny is that you'll see celebrities, because a lot of people, when they're trying to get into show business, they go and audition for game shows.
Right.
So I think, am I mistaken, Paul? Wasn't like Arnold Schwarzenegger like an early episode? Yeah.
And actually the show I'm Dying Up Here on Showtime, they kind of cover that a little bit, because they used to send comedians. If you look back on the comedians from the 70s, they would go on that show because, you know, they would be wittier, allegedly, than common folk. So.
Sure. All right, Paul, tell us how your dating game works.
So the way it's going to work is there's three bachelors, right? Bachelor number one is a comedian, HR guru, and the host of Master Dating, Vic Pandya. And bachelor number two is the producer, WGN, producer of Patty Vasquez, Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, and the Sound Sessions podcast, Michael Heidemann, MD.
Glad to be on the show, Paul.
We're happy that you're here. And bachelor number three is a comedian, lawyer, performer of djembe, and also the host of Singles Only podcast, which is me, Paul Farvar. I'm bachelor number three. So those are the three bachelors, and I'm happy to be here too. And Vic, are you happy to be here?
I'm very excited to be here.
Okay, so Patty and Esmeralda, you guys can ask the questions that you see fit, and if people want to text in or call, they can also call in with questions for any bachelor or all three bachelors. And I think that's all we need to know. And then at the end, we can have the voters text in who they think should win. And we could probably give away two tickets for Master Dating and Singles Only on Friday at Laugh Factory at midnight as part of the Chicago Podcast Festival.
Okay.
How's that? I think I covered everything.
That sounds great. All right.
So, Patty, do you have a question for any of the bachelors or all three of the bachelors?
Okay, let me ask you, Paul.
It's bachelor number three.
Bachelor number three. Bachelor number three. Mm-hmm. If you could be any superhero, which superhero would you be?
I think I would have to go with Iceman. Is that what his name is? The one that was an ice figure? Because I feel like I don't know a lot about superheroes, but I think that one would be cool. Or Spider-Man, because I think it'd be cool to be able to shoot webs and like climb.
Okay, Spider-Man. So wait. So what you're saying,
Iceman, I feel would be a good one, because it's
Iceman.
Iceman is.
Who's that?
He used to, maybe I'm not using the right name, but he would fling ice and then he would travel on the ice.
Is it the one from The Incredibles?
You're thinking of the Silver Surfer, I think.
Silver Surfer.
I'll go with Silver Surfer.
Oh, wait, there's an X-Man who does that, but I don't know his name.
Yeah, it's X-Men. I just looked it up. It's from X-Men.
Is it Iceman, though?
Yeah.
Was I right?
Iceman,
so I was right.
Iceman.
You can call me Silver Surfer, because I'm kind of silver hair, so it kind of works, right? It's not looking for laughs. I'm just being honest. I think that's the answer I'm going to go with, Patty.
Okay. All right. So the Iceman. All right. How about you, Vic? What superhero? Do I ask different questions?
It's batch number one, Patty.
I'm sorry. Do I ask different questions or do
you
I ask the
same
question? Same
question, or you can
okay,
ask
Okay, bachelor number one. Bachelor number one, not Vic. bachelor number one. If you could be any children's board game, which board game would you be?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would have to say Monopoly. Because it takes a really long time to play, and I feel like I'm very complex, and it takes a long time to figure me out.
That's a good answer.
Right. Wow.
And nice. So I was going to say something about passing Go and collecting 200, but I feel like it's, I don't want that to be misconstrued. <I don't
laughs> yeah, that would be, okay.
There you go. All right. And bachelor number two, not Michael, but also Michael. When you were little, what did you dream of being when you grew up?
Ooh, that's a really good, great question. You know, I was born in a small town, so farming was a big part of my life. And, you know, I was always into corn, but you know what? I'd plow your field anytime if you wanted me to.
Nice!
Whoa! Thank you. Oh, wait, give me a second here. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Wow.
That was such a. He set himself up so well for that.
What's that? Yeah.
He set himself up.
He set up punchline and he lobbed it to himself and just like dunked it. By the way, wow. I think that we should open this up to our listeners.
Yeah, they can text in or call.
312-981-7200. What questions do you have for our bachelors? And then we also need someone to pick our winner so far, don't we? I mean, otherwise, whoever picks the, how do we do this?
We can make Esmeralda pick. I think that's fair.
I think okay.
She's unbiased here.
Yeah.
I don't know any of you dudes.
Do you have any questions?
I do.
Uh-oh.
If you always
let me
pick one.
For all three of us or?
Yeah, okay. I want yes, all three.
Okay.
You are stuck on you're stranded on an island. Hmm. What's the one food you would bring that you would have to eat forever?
I'm bachelor number three. I'll answer with Portillo's beef and cheddar croissant. With fries and a milkshake, cake shake probably.
Mm.
Okay,
that's my answer.
Tasty.
You guys got an answer too, Michael? Bachelor number.
Vic, I'm gonna let you go. I forgot the question.
Wow.
I will restate the question to my answer. If you were stranded on an island, what one food would you bring and why?
There was no why added, right? Was there us? Can't change the
no there was no
Vic.
Why but if you want to
all right I just thought I was gonna give a thorough answer right. I was gonna say I feel like it's funny that all the comedians are picking fast food. I was gonna say Chick-fil-A. Yeah, I was gonna do some Chick-fil-A spicy chicken biscuit with the waffle fries with the cheese sauce, which I believe is discontinued, which we should investigate.
Wow. But in this hypothetical, you can
if I could bring anything,
yeah,
I would bring
it
back.
Yeah,
I would bring it back.
Okay.
And with some sort of shake as well.
Oh, okay.
That
makes
sounds
sense.
Really,
Michael?
Really good. You know, the first thought that goes to my mind, some food that I've been really into lately is Vlasic pickles. I've been really into those.
That's
but,
all you can eat for the rest of your island trip.
Yes, but the jars would be so heavy that I'm probably gonna go with a pizza because I feel like that's the most amount of food in the heaviest
Smart.
Amount of dish, and you'd be full after it. So I would say pizza.
Okay.
Nice and spicy.
Practical.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I'm also just going to point out that you're on an island, which is hot, and you're all eating like real duck bombs.
Wait, you didn't say anything about the weather on this island.
Islands are cold?
Could be the island where the
Iceland.
Just saying.
Yeah, the Iceman lives there. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not judging. I'm just saying you guys are going to eat gut bombs every day.
Wow.
We're already living on an island, though, so you might as well just go out happy.
That's true.
I can eat Portillo's.
Yeah, this is not a castaway situation. Everyone's dying in 2 weeks. Yeah, we're not making it.
It's a 2-hour island trip, right? A 3-hour tour.
Yeah.
All right, Patty, you got more questions?
I think that we need to take a break first and figure out some good questions first of all. Oh, there it is. 312-981-7200. What questions do you have for our bachelors? Bachelor number one. I need like better intros, Paul.
He's an HR guru and a comedian and host of Master Dating Podcast.
Okay. Bachelor number two, producer of the Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez show and host of his very own podcast, Sound Sessions. And bachelor number three, I want to say something dashing about his hair, but I don't want to insult him either because he has a remarkable head of hair. He has a law degree. He practices law, but also practices comedy. It's Paul Farvar in Bachelor Number 3. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening. Wrestling Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios in Los Angeles and in the Allstate Showcase Studios in Chicago on Michigan Avenue. It's the Pretty Late Master Dating Singles Only Dating Game. I don't know. What did we decide on, Paul? I forgot what we landed on.
I like... Pretty, how about a pretty dating game?
Pretty late dating singles.
Pretty late dating game.
Pretty late dating game. It's got it's got like a rhyme
all right.
thing.
I like
to
that
it.
Pretty late dating game. There it is. We have Bachelor number one, Bachelor number two. I'm just going to dispense with your intro. Mm-hmm. We already did the intros earlier.
Yeah, we got it.
Bachelor number one, number two, number three are taking your questions to determine who is the most appealing bachelor. Who would Esmeralda so far? I mean. If you and I were single, and this is creepy. Never mind. I'm not going
to put
either one
decide.
Of us.
Yeah, I'm the final decider.
She's the final.
I like it. But here's the thing: is it like it's more for like who would we set our friends up with? I think is the way we. Have
That's
to look
a
at
way
it.
To look at it. Yeah, yeah, sure.
There you go.
Who would I set my friends up with? Okay.
I don't know if I like that because I think I'm going to get shafted in that. I think it should just be based on the answers given.
Okay.
And going with the numbers 1, 2, and 3 as if you didn't know. Bachelor number three, bachelor number two, bachelor number one, who they are. I think that's the only fair way to do it.
Okay.
I just lost the vote.
three,
we have
one,
some texts.
We do good. 312-981-7200. We are taking your texts and calls. If you have a question for our bachelors, give us a call or text us. Go ahead, Paul. What are the texts?
Okay, so the 312 said, if you owned only three pairs of boxers, red, white, and blue, which would you wear on a first date and why? If you only own three pairs of boxers, red, white, and blue, which would you wear on a first date and why? I think batch number two has an answer.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm funny you ask that. I think that I would choose red because that's the color of love and that's what I'll give to you if I were to choose that.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you.
I think batch number one, you've got a... You've got to answer that question.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, I would go with white, to show confidence that I can take care of myself. I think that's it's important. I think it would demonstrate that I can be a clean person, and it's a bold move because it could end badly. But if it goes well, I'm someone who's I put all my cards on the table. You know, I have a daring persona, and I think that would come across.
You know, that's an interesting response. I like the confidence in that. I have to say, Esmeralda, about you, but reflecting on my past experiences, I've never seen a gentleman's white, whether it was boxers or tidy whities, that were in a situation that left me, wondering what was going on at home.
Oh. What was going on?
What was going on? Sounds like a whole domestic issue.
How they prepare for a date, how they take care of themselves, what's, you know, maybe how they eat, that kind of thing is what I'm saying.
That's right. Good?
Yeah.
That's good, right?
That's very good.
It's a question or a statement? I don't
it's good? That's good. Okay. All right. So far we have white for bachelor number one, red for bachelor number two, and bachelor number three. Tasked with also answering this question.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to go with blue because if you actually look at a heart, it actually is not red. It's more like a bluish tinge purple, and that's where my heart is for you. Uh-oh.
Nice.
We have another text. Esmeralda or Patty, do you have any other questions before we take this other text?
Oh, please go to the text.
Yeah, go to the text.
All right, this one says, on a first date... What is it about a girl that makes you want a second date? And what makes you decide you definitely don't want a second date? Those are two questions. I think bachelor number one, you have to take this first.
Yeah. I think if I want a second date with someone, I would say they keep the conversation going. I think a lot of times it's like it just becomes an interview and it's not like a free flow conversation. I'd want someone who can kind of be spontaneous in the moment with me and, like, you know, people watch or do something like remark on the environment. It doesn't need to be like this formal, like, what do you do for work? How's the weather outside? Like the standard kind of litany of questions you get. So that would be something that would get me to ask her on a second date.
Yeah.
And to the second part, what would not make me go on a second date is if the person's on their phone. I had one girl like check me into social media with her, like, and it was just, I was just like, I have to unfriend you now. Like, it's weird. Like, it just, you know, it's too much. Like, it's already like escalating that, and I don't want to be public necessarily with this person online. Like, it was weird. It was too much.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Bachelor number two.
So to keep me going on a second date, it's all about, yeah, like you said, it's all about the connection that you're trying to make with the person, whether you guys have something in common or whether you guys like the same kind of ice cream. I mean, it's that I like those quirky kind of things that you can get in touch with somebody. Like, again, with the pickles, I'm a huge fan of Vlasic pickles. They're so good and crunchy. And if somebody actually likes these pickles, I'm totally down with. But I'm not a fan of Clausen. See, if you like Clausen pickles, they're too darn salty. And I think that would be my choice.
Are they a sponsor for the show, or is this that we're trying to
make? I think
Esmeralda.
Good pickle.
I feel like Mike and I need to do pickle talk sometime.
Yeah. That's a new segment.
I think so, because I'm more of a gherkin girl.
Get him a pickle.
Oh, wait, let me get this. There you go. Anyway, and then to take me away from the person would probably be any form of just hate speech. Just on the first day would probably be not very cool. Or, you know, if, I don't know, like a bad haircut has always kind of thrown me off a little bit. Or if they say I have a bad haircut, it'll definitely be a no-go. So that'll probably be my choices.
Wait. Has anyone ever told you you have a bad haircut?
Many times. In fact, yeah.
What?
More than once.
That's great hair.
Yeah. Well, when
spectacular hair.
Thank you.
I mean, let's not go crazy. It's great hair.
You also have magnificent hair.
Is Paul, reserved for people who actually have spectacular hair.
Paul, you have magnificent hair. Michael has spectacular hair.
To be honest, okay? I think Vic has the best hair of all three of us,
thank
to be
you.
Honest.
I cannot judge that. I'm
okay, Bachelor One.
I'm going to say spontaneity is very important, and just ability to communicate is very important, as you guys have touched on. Whether or not they like pickles is not going to be relevant to me. But yeah, good music taste is always plus. In this climate, you know, being able to talk about things that are in the news without being offensive. And yeah, stay off your phone. Don't text while I'm there. Unless I'm texting, then you can text too.
You have to start. You have to lead.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't text during dates. And I think that, Esmeralda, what's your favorite place to eat?
What?
What's your favorite place to eat? I'm just trying to get some brownie points. Be like, so you have to vote for us.
Wait, is this part of your answer?
Yeah. I was just trying to get brownie points. Okay. No, I guess that's all I got. That's all. Well, she's the one that's deciding, so I
all
was
right.
just trying
well,
to...
All right, you know what? She's gonna do her totals. Yeah. She's going to reflect on your answers, right. Take everything into consideration. And when we come back, Esmeralda will tell us who is the winner of the Pretty Late Dating Game when we come back on 720 WGN. It is the Pretty Late Dating Game. And our bachelors are eagerly awaiting your questions, your comments, and your judgment. Now, Michael, we have a listener who wants to join the conversation. Is that right?
Yes, we do.
All right. Who do we have on the line?
Caller Glenn.
Hey, Glenn. What are your thoughts?
Good morning. How are you?
We're very well. How about yourself, sir?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Staying out of trouble.
Yeah, as we all should. Here. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Bachelor number one.
Yes.
You go on a date, and you both know it's a disaster. Do you bow out graciously, or do you continue through with the date for the rest of the evening?
So we were actually just discussing this when we were off air. I think most of the time, I feel like women have an emergency exit plan in place when they go on dates, because probably maybe the volume is greater, or they're just smarter. It's probably both. And I think guys, we tend to, once we're on the date, we don't really do much planning like after that. Like, it's all planning to the date. And then once we're on the date itself, it's like, oh, we didn't do anything here. Like, this is, we had no preparation at all. So I feel like in the moment, you would probably try to stick it out. Unless it was something truly atrocious, I think you would stick it through. And if, just speaking for myself, being a comedian, I'm going to stick through. Just, I might get 2 more minutes of material out of that. Like, that's something that you never know, right? But
true.
I think generally most men, and definitely myself, I would stick it through unless it was something like so blatant or something so ridiculous that I could excuse myself for.
Patty, you know the story that I tell, right?
With
this. So Glenn, I have an answer. I'm batch number three. I know you didn't ask me this question, but I actually had a situation going to what Vic said where we clearly both knew it wasn't going anywhere. And this was a woman from Russia. She had an awesome Russian accent, tall woman. And like within 10 minutes, she knew she didn't want to be there. But I couldn't get out of the date and I couldn't figure it out. And then finally she just goes, "Are we done here?" And I was like, "Oh yes. Like this is the greatest thing." Yeah. I'm like, "Yeah." Like I haven't been able to use that yet. So
that's direct to the point.
Yep.
Well, number one got Michael so far.
Wait, we have Michael. Hold on.
Glenn has made his choice already. You know, it's a very interesting topic because as Vic said, we don't really do a lot of planning when we're talking about these dates. I mean, the most thing that I do is pick out my T-shirt and I pick out a dark pair of jeans, and that's about it. So, to be honest, if the girl wants to even spend a little bit of time, I'm down to just even if it's bad, at least you made a friend and you have a really cool story to tell at the end of the day. So I power through. And to be honest, there's nothing on a bad date that can't be cured by a good tasting pickle at the end of the night. If you just go home and you break it open from your refrigerator and it's crunchy and tasty I think it's good.
Lisa, that would lead up to master dating then. Afterwards.
Nice. There you go.
There you go.
Wait,
there
let me
go.
Get you. Glenn gets one too. There you go.
Well played, sir. Well played. All right. So, which way are you leading, Glenn, as far as our bachelors?
Bachelor one.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Right. Let's put that in the back. Right. Do you want to add that to your?
It's a close three-way tie. But,
all right.
Yeah.
I like Glenn. As we add that to your calculations, is Glenn's
yes.
vote for
Glenn's vote.
Taking it into consideration.
I like that. All right. Thank you, Glenn. Where are you? Where are you headed tonight? Are you driving on the roads? You hauling?
Yeah, I'm on 94 right now. I'll go northbound towards Wisconsin.
Well, Glenn, for joining us tonight and participating in our Bachelor, the Pretty Late Dating Game, I'd like to send you a gift card. Can we send you a gift card for Lou Malnati's?
Yeah, I think I won less than 60 days, though.
All right. That was very nice of you. Well, they would have. It's so sad because you would have told us, and then if you hadn't, marketing would have told us. Yeah, but Lou Malnati's, I mean, like, here's the thing. I always want to share Lou Malnati's with everybody. So, you know what? Next time, Glenn, we will make sure we get you something else, all right?
All right. Thank you very much.
Be safe out. No, thank you very much. Be safe out there.
All right. Have a nice morning.
And our next caller tonight will take Glenn's pizza. And then Glenn will get his pizza next time. But Lou Malnati's, the best pizza in the Chicagoland area with over 40 locations. You can go to loumalnati's.com.
We have another text question.
All right.
Patty.
No, please.
Well, this is more of a concern. They said, I once had a first date where she was scared of guacamole, like actually scared. Is that normal? given that best number two has been talking about pickles, I figured you might want to take this one first. Is that normal?
Got a lot of views on produce. I think this is right up your alley.
Scared of a superfood? I don't think that's too normal. I mean, I've seen people who aren't a fan of bell peppers and ripe grape tomatoes, which I don't really get a sense of. But
or cilantro, too. Some people don't like cilantro.
Cilantro is another one because it kind of gets stuck in your teeth. But as far as guacamole, I've not met a single person who doesn't like that. You dip a chip in it. It tastes delicious.
What would you do if you were on a date with someone who was afraid of guacamole?
Oh, how would you handle that, bachelor number two?
That's interesting. It depends on the menu choice. I mean, is there an option for some pickles? That's what I'm saying. I was wondering if there are, then I think she'd be okay. I think we'd be on the same page still. But
just swap them out? She won't notice the difference. They're both green.
Yeah, this one's a nail biter. I don't know. Paul, what do you think?
Well, I also wouldn't understand how you can be scared of guacamole, but there must be like some backstory there. Like, it's like, what happened with you and guacamole? Might be something. Maybe she had like a bad experience. You know, I can't drink tequila anymore from my Cancun trip. So maybe I just have to respect that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to just say it's normal. Yeah.
I think it would be tough because initially I would think like she was doing a bit. Like, yeah. She's like, I'm scared of guacamole. I'm like, ah, so funny. Like, yeah. Yeah. Let's. And then I would probably press the envelope and, like, order two more things of, like, just order all the guacamole.
Right.
All of it.
Yeah. Just be like, let's see if this is a real thing or not.
I wouldn't have a second day with her, though. For
yeah.
Sure.
Oh, that's definitely, no. That's unless, cutting, like, the date short. That would be the situation where you have to leave.
I kind of love the conversation that this question has sparked.
The guacamole question.
Yeah.
That might be the deciding factor. It's like, it's like Florida in the Electoral College to see what Esmeralda decides based on.
I got your hanging chip right here.
Oh, there you go.
Chad. It's a Chad.
I know. Yeah, before Chad, guacamole, Chad. You'd have, yeah,
oh,
guacamole,
with the chip.
You have chips.
Oh, so,
yeah.
Got
sorry.
It. Yeah, well sorry. Done, Patty.
No. You know what's funny? It's not well done because you both corrected me. So if you didn't correct me, if it had
I
been,
only corrected you because Esmeralda did, and I'm trying to get her vote. So.
No. You were both right. I was taking a swing. It was obviously a miss, and I'm comfortable with that. It is okay. All right. I think we are at the end of our my rope. No, we're at the end.
She doesn't get a Trump
unless we get any more texts that you want to share with us, Paul, as far as questions or comments for the pretty late dating game.
No, unless Esmeralda has a final question to help her. I feel like she's already made her demise.
Do you have a tiebreaker question, Esmeralda? Mm.
No. It's Vic.
Oh, yes.
That's number one wins.
Wow, did not see that coming.
No, I did not. I thought.
Thank you.
Now, Vic, as the very first winner of the Pretty Late Dating Game, we don't have any prizes for you, but we do need you to take an acceptance speech and what you assume is the role of the number one bachelor on the first ever Pretty Late Dating Game.
Yeah, well, no, I'd first like to say I'm very honored to be the first bachelor of the Master Dating Singles Late Show combination.
Hashtag
singles only forever. Chicago Podcast Festival 2017. This is a big honor for me. And it makes sense that I won an award at 2 a.m. in the morning. It's very fitting. But no, I think, you know what, I do hope that people come and take me up on The Bachelor 1 at the Chicago Podcast Festival this week on Friday. I'll be there in person, so you can ask me all these questions in person and get equally bad answers. And I would love to meet you in person and take, if you want to go on a date with me, let me know.
There will be pickles.
There will be pickles. Mike will be there. Yeah, of course.
Wait, no, that's not a Michael date. There are pickles on Michael dates. I think Vic gets to have his own
guacamole.
Sort of
I'll have guac. Yeah, my own condiments.
I feel like Michael doesn't even need a date. He just needs a bowl of pickles.
That's just a him thing. Yeah.
Bring it on. That's the only lady I need in my life.
Michael, in all these months we've been working together, you've never once brought a pickle guest to my studio. I'm a little bit disappointed by that. So
I did notice got the pickles last time we had food here. He like goes, "Oh, are you going to eat that?" Like, and I was like, "Oh, I love pickles," but he was so excited.
I think we specifically, like, there's a pickle guy out of Chicago, isn't there? Like, specifically people dedicated to this craft of pickle making. I'm just saying.
I need to meet this man and get him on the show now.
I don't know what you've been waiting for. Vic, I apologize for really sort of manipulating the time in which really belongs to you as the winner of the very first.
No, you know what? This is very good insight into the male psyche right now. I think we're learning a lot.
We both Vic and I had the same questions, and I was hoping that he would ask. Use part of his time.
Absolutely.
In his speech to cover the pickles.
We're not done with this topic. This is a whole separate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a continuous discussion.
Yeah, we will have to do a mini series of pickle talk, guac talk. Thank you so much, you guys. Congratulations to our winner, Vic Pandya.
Thank you very much.
And let's take a break here. We've got to come back with, you know what, it's been a long day. I hope that we have brought a little bit of levity. I know that there's a lot wearing on people, a lot on people's minds today. Tell me something good. On a day like today in particular, I think that we need to find something good that we can share with each other, whether it's in your life, something that you notice, an observation. 312-981-7200. Tell me something good. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios West in Los Angeles. In studio, we have Vic Pandya, who is hosting, who is actually headlining an incredible show coming up on October. What day do you have it? October 13th. Vic?
Yep, October 13th at 8:30 p.m. at Seven Barn Restaurant by Millennium Park.
Excellent. Comedian Paul Farber, the host of Singles Only podcast. Every week he has a new podcast. You can listen in this week's with Matt Fetterman.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
You just released that today.
Yeah. Drink, Date, Laugh every Friday night. And I go to, what's the name of your, paulfcomedy.com.
Paul F. Comedy. We don't have it this week, but
All right, there you go. It's been a long day, a lot going on, and I wanted to check in with our listeners, and I'm hoping we have something good. I know we have a listener on the line. Michael, our listener on hold, I apologize. What's her name?
So we have listener Carrie joining us.
Carrie! Hey, Carrie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you, Patty?
I'm doing all right. Tell me something good, please.
Well, I called in October last year because my brother got lucky and won the lottery to get tickets to the World Series. Lightning struck twice. His wife won the lottery and they're going to the playoff game.
Wow.
Oh, come on. That's fantastic. Oh, I love that. How exciting is are they going out? Is it the first game? So is it against the Nationals?
Yeah, they're going to games 3 and 4.
Oh my God. Now wait a minute, that lottery already happened?
For the first round, yes.
I really need to get in these lotteries. Do you ever register for the lotteries, or is it your brother's just really quick on those things?
Well, I did for World Series tickets. I didn't for this because they have changed the rules this year.
In what way?
They're trying to discourage ticket brokers from buying them. So when you register, it's one email address per household.
Okay.
So only one person in your house can register for each round. And you have to put down a $50 deposit when you register.
What?
Yes. So
interesting.
If you just take it off the cost of the tickets, if you don't, they refund it. But they're trying to cut down on scalpers.
Wow. Well, I can see that. Well, congratulations. I'm so happy that they're going to the playoff games. But I want to know, Carrie, how is that? Are you happy for them? Because I feel like we need to give you something good. I think we need to give you a Lou Malnati's gift card tonight. That you're getting Glenn's gift card.
Won a gift card a few weeks ago by guessing that Paul was eating nachos.
Oh.
The best thing I heard all night. That was great.
I remember you, Carrie.
That's fantastic.
That was great.
I love the Paul eating
segment, which is on hiatus this week.
All right, then, Carrie, I have to give that to somebody else. Carrie, thank you for telling us something good and making us laugh. I wish I could give you everything we have in our prize closet. You have a great night, okay? Bye, Carrie.
You too.
Thank you. Oh, that's fantastic. I want to go to the playoff games. Paul, do you have tickets to playoff games?
No, but I'm working during the first two, so I know we watched the games last year together. If there's a game five, I'm gonna try to get tickets to that game in Washington.
I will be here. I'll be in Los Angeles watching game one, which I don't even what the game time is 6:30 Central.
Yeah, so you're probably like 4-ish there, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, so I should be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Shape. Yeah.
There's a Chicago bar out there, too. You might want to check it out.
Yes, there's several, actually.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Vic, are you a Cubs fan?
I am, but purely because I live here. I'm one of those people.
Wow.
I had to admit it. I got to be honest. I'm not going to try to jump on the bandwagon. It's too late now.
Well, that can't be your something good. Tell me something good, Vic.
Something good.
Something you're celebrating. Something you're excited about. Something you're happy about.
Happy that I got a new job recently.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. In addition to the comedy stuff, as was alluded to on the dating segment, I'm an HR guru, so I'm actually, I'm an HR professional in my 9-to-5, and then I moonlight as a comedian. So I got a job at a startup as the director of HR.
And how does one guru at HR, by the way?
I'm not sure. That word choice was a mystery to me as well.
I picked that word.
I like that. I'm just curious. All right, congratulations on your new job.
Thank you.
I love that.
Thank you very much.
Well, I will tell you my something good is that I have people in my life who make my productions of broadcasting pretty late from Los Angeles possible, including Mark DiCarlo and Yenny Alvarez, who I use their equipment, and Bob Ferguson, who I know has to struggle through these nights when it's like, I'm not sure, because things change, you know, the kind of things that we have to deal with, it's not easy. So thank you to Bob Ferguson for not only riding along on this sort of adventure with my long-distance broadcast, but making our musicians, Danny Shea and Joe Stevens, who were remarkable in studio, they sounded fantastic. So thank you so much for all that hard work. And to producer Michael Heidemann, who also has to be like, Patty, you there? Patty, you there? Patty, are you there? So thank you, Michael, for making this happen, because it's a lot of work, I know, on your end. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you. Michael, you got to tell me something good before we go.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's Monday. It was a wonderful week. It was like 70 degrees today. Not to keep the food thing going, but I tried Nando's chicken recently. It's so good.
Nando's? What's Nando's?
It's just like a Jamaican-infused chicken, and that really made me happy. And I learned how to make cookies today, so that was my good things.
Yay! Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Nice. How about you, Paul? We haven't gotten your something good.
I get to open for for Jen Kirkman again on Friday. Awesome. At Talia Hall. I'm really excited about that. And then we got the Master Dating Singles Only show. And then I'm opening for Dimitri Martin on Sunday too at the Vic. I just found out, so I'm excited about that as well. It's a big fun weekend.
Fun. I love that. Congratulations, Esmeralda. I know I'm putting you on the spot by asking you to tell me something good.
I made a roast chicken today.
A lot of chicken on the show.
Yeah.
Yes,
but under it I did mushrooms. Like a variety of mushrooms, oyster and shiitake. Ooh. And portobello. So
yes.
Good. I didn't know I loved oyster mushrooms.
No pickles?
No, there's no pickles in there.
No.
There's pickles in my fridge, if that counts.
Mike's reaction to that was visceral.
He got really upset.
I feel like we need a pickle chef for Michael Heidemann.
I know what I'm bringing next Monday.
Take him to Parts and Labor, Patty.
Hello.
They have good pickles there?
They do fried pickles, but also fried jardinera.
Fried jardinera. Oh. The fried jardinera is one of the best things that's ever happened to my face. I just want you to know that right now.
You need to try that.
Done and done.
I mean, I've done a lot to my face, and fried jardinera is one of the best things. Just saying.